Hey, everybody, I'm Pastor Shannon Williams, and you are watching the KTF Podcast. We are defending the faith and standing for truth, as we always do. You know what to do with this video. We want you to share, like, subscribe, and you can always find more information at ktfpodcast.com. We have an awesome podcast today, not because I'm here, because we got a great guest. And the Holy Spirit's here with us today as well. And so I want you to help welcome to the KTF Podcast. We have Pastor Johnny Norris Jr. with us here at the KTF Podcast. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been seeing a lot of each other lately, it seems like. We just keep running into each other over and over again. But it is not by coincidence. It's because we're both partnering and working together, and we're going to men's conferences, we're doing outreaches together, and it's been a blessing, bro.
Amen. Yes, sir, I agree. It's been awesome. I've met some of the guys from your church, and we got to be good friends, and then I've always kind of kept up with you a little bit on Facebook and stuff. And
yeah.
Believe in what you're doing, brother.
Well, I tell you what, man, it's always good to look out and see people that are not in your immediate area, but are out there doing the work of God. And I can say that you're one of those pastors that are out there. You're really getting your hands dirty, and you're doing the work of the kingdom. And if you're going to do the work of God, you got to be willing to get your hands dirty.
Amen. Absolutely. Very dirty sometimes.
A long time ago, I learned how to spell the word ministry. And this is how it's spelled, W-O-R-K.
Yes, work. Absolutely.
A lot of people see ministry and they see, they'll see a video, right? They'll watch what happens on a Sunday morning. But what they don't see is what happens behind the scenes, how you care for people as people reach out and do different things. And you're there actually doing the ministry. That's the majority of it. How much would you say in your own life that you are out there doing that people see versus what people don't see that's not out there? What's the difference like? And I'm sure it's probably a little bit heavier on what people don't see that you guys are doing.
Yes, sir. Our ministry, God has led us a long time ago to be involved with a lot of the addicted and homeless ministry. It's funny, we first started our little church in downtown Shelby. We could only hold about 50 people at that time, and we were probably going a little bit over that every week. But one of the things we've seen, even when we were painting the first time, some of the homeless folks would come by, and they're like, "What's going on here?" And we said, "We're going to be a church, and you're welcome here." And so right off the bat, the homeless in the community kind of were drawn to us. And we realized real fast that was going to be a big part of our ministry.
Well, a lot of churches they've neglected the least of these. But yes, Bible is very clear about our doctrine and what we should be doing as a church. You know, he said, if you remember the least of these and take care of them, you're taking care of me. He also says that, he watches over, he's take care of the children, don't allow the children to be hurt or harmed. It'd be better for someone to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea than to offend one of the little ones.
Amen.
And so some of the outlying people in the community are sometimes forgotten. And but your church, I didn't mention that earlier, but you pastor, it's in the name of your church is Royal Priesthood Biker Church.
For all people.
Yes. Now tell us about where you got the vision and how that came to pass, because we're starting to see more and more of these. They're called biker churches. Tell us about what that's all about.
Well, our vision was that, I came from the biker world. I was saved at 8 years old, but I drifted back out into the world, got involved in some clubs and different stuff like that. And then
you're talking about motorcycle clubs.
Clubs, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I was living in the world.
Okay.
And it was Myrtle Beach Bike Week about 11 years ago that God showed me that I had influence in that world and that I belonged to him, that I better surrender my life to him and start serving him. He didn't give me a choice. He didn't give me a choice, Pastor Shannon. He came after me. And I believe when the Holy Spirit comes after you, you know, there's family members praying for you.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will come track you down. And he tracked me down, and he showed me that I better get to work and help people in that world know that Jesus loves them and we love them. And so Myrtle Beach Bike Week about 11 years ago, I came home. I went to my bedroom floor, hit the floor, surrendered my life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I've served him the best I could since that point. And then God led us to start a motorcycle ministry. Is how it all started, Royal Priesthood Motorcycle Ministry. That's how it kind of all started, and then it led into the biker church.
How long have you been doing active ministry?
The motorcycle ministry is 6 years old.
Okay.
But before that, right after I'd had the vision, I know some people don't believe in visions. I'm going to tell you, I had one.
Come on, tell us.
God came to me. He spoke to me, and he showed me what I needed to be doing. So I surrendered my life to him. And at that point, I had just went to a church I know had a motorcycle ministry. And I worked with those guys for a while. And then God led us to a different church, and we started Royal Priesthood Motorcycle Ministry at that point.
Okay. So tell us about the name Royal Priesthood. How did that name get born? Tell us the behind the scenes thoughts about that name and what that represents.
1 Peter 2:9, God says he takes us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And that's what we want to show the world, that you might be living in that darkness, but there's hope for you. And that hope's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you'll follow him, he'll take you out of that darkness and bring you into the light. And so we prayed about the name a lot, and we ended up with Royal Priesthood out of 1 Peter 2:9.
That's awesome. That is so good. And I like the part on there. Guys, I like this where he says, for all people.
For all people.
I like that you have that in your name. That way there's no question. Because we have many homeless people that come to our church. We have a guy, he's heavily involved in the homeless ministry. His name's Jared Frady. It was born because he got this passion and fire from an outreach we did. And so I find that we have tons and tons of people that are coming through the doors that are less fortunate, society would look down upon. But I can tell you, if you can help those people get off the street and get settled and get rebuilt and find their faith in Christ, those are some of the most awesome, powerful, anointed people you'll ever meet.
Amen.
And they fear nothing.
Yes.
They will charge the gates of hell with a water pistol.
Yes, yes.
Because they have seen God really move in their life. Now, you guys are actively working in recovery ministry too. You have a house, a transition recovery house, and this house is called, I want to make sure I get this right, Chosen Generation House of Hope.
Yes. If you notice, it comes out of that same 1 Peter 2:9.
A peculiar people, yes. Chosen generation.
Chosen generation.
Royal priesthood.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so how it kind of all played out was we started a motorcycle ministry, and we were in a normal fundamental church, and God said we need to start a church that and call it Royal Priesthood Biker Church for all people.
Yeah.
At that time, it was to create a church that people could come to, dress comfortable, to feel like that. And, you know, one thing I think God showed us a pretty good move on was one of the excuses, Pastor, you know, you get a lot of times is, Sunday's my only day off.
Uh-huh,
I like to sleep late. So God told us to start at 2 o'clock. And that kind of, we get a lot of those folks that might have been out late the night before, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But they come get the word of God. And we've had several people that used to be in like clubs and stuff now that have gave the heart to Jesus Christ and are serving the Lord.
Now, I want to ask you about the people that are drawn to your ministry. You know, the people that wear the biker vests.
Right.
They're in the clubs, right?
Right.
You know, they might not be welcome or feel welcome. I know it's not right.
Right.
But I'm just talking about the state of religion.
Right.
Exactly. In America. Because, the Bible says that he came, and this is the gospel. He came to seek and to save them that are lost. He didn't say, those that are lost that fit a certain criteria, those that are lost that wear a certain kind of clothes, just those who are lost.
Amen. All people. Amen.
And yes. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel and that Christ died for them. And so what you're doing is you're reaching really to the people that are scary to other people. Let's talk about that real quick. Because I find that people are, they're almost afraid of the motorcycle crowd.
Right.
Some of them have a rough reputation. You know, that there are motorcycle clubs that are out there. They're known to be rough. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, biker clubs sometimes can be rough, have rough around the edges. But you know what? God loves them.
He loves them just as much.
He loves them as much as he loves anybody. The Baptist person sitting in the pew.
Amen.
The Methodist person sitting in a pew with a suit and tie. He loves them just as much, and he wants them to be saved.
That's right.
And I really think it's unique that God has called you out of that lifestyle.
Right.
To save you, sanctify you, fill you with the Spirit, and then turn around and send you right back into that group.
Right. Yes, exactly. We go when one of the clubs are like having an event or something to raise. You know, they do a lot of charity work. They do.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they're having one of those events, we'll ride over there, go in. We don't participate in the stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We don't participate in any sin. But we go over there to support them, support what they're doing, and try to witness to them. You know, a lot of times they will just ask questions. You know, I even run into some people that knowed me from back then that say, "Man, you're a preacher now?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am. It ain't because of nothing I could have ever done, but because of what he's done."
Come on.
I said, "All I've done is surrender to him."
Come on.
And you can do the same thing.
That's right.
You can do the same thing.
That's right. Now, it's no secret that motorcycle clubs in general, they really can rally.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
Like I don't know if there's another group of people that I've ever seen that you can say, "Hey, there's something going on over here. We need to go address it. We need to go help. We need to ride our bikes over here and we, you know, meet a need or let's go protect this family, a child or something."
Yes.
And it seems like the biker crowd has this huge heart, no matter how rough their exterior there is. They have a huge heart.
Exactly.
And they're willing to, "Hey, at a drop of a hat, let's 100 deep, 200 deep, let's ride over here and do this." What is that all about? Is there anything that's going on? Maybe you could shine a light onto that, because this is so rare that I don't see this very often, except for in a motorcycle.
Right. Pastor Shannon, I think a part of what you see there is they do have a brotherhood to help each other and help others. So that brotherhood causes them to do all that. But if you can win them to Christ, man, you got an army. You've got an army that you can take that brotherhood, like all churches should be.
Come on.
If you're for Christ, you should be a brotherhood like that. But if you can take that and win them over to Christ and get them out. And like I said, we have 50 members. Now, not all of our members ride. We probably have 23, 24 members that actually ride motorcycles.
Okay.
But when you can get a group of 25 together and you roll down the road, people are realizing, they're looking at your vest and they're like, wait a minute. Them ain't club bikers.
Right.
That's a ministry. They're wearing a cross on their back. You know, they work for the Lord. And people are going to ask questions. So we use those vests and those motorcycles as tools to make people ask questions.
Okay.
And you can say, "Well, yeah, let me tell you about my Jesus." You know, that's what it's all about. And as time has went on, we had to move to a bigger church from that little church we started with.
That's a good problem to have.
Yes, but this thing was, we were so involved in the homeless ministry. God said, "You got to find a bigger building, but you can't leave downtown Shelby." That was tough, but we kept praying and waiting, and he provided a bigger building because he said we couldn't leave the location to where the homeless and the addicted could walk to us. So they can still come to our location. Now we're 634 South Lafayette Street, Shelby, North Carolina. Start at 2 p.m. So if you go to church somewhere else and you want a second round, come on and worship with us. Everybody's welcome.
Absolutely. Your house, let's talk about your house, because you take people that's had drug problems, issues, maybe out of prison, stuff like that, to give them a place to transition into and rebuild their life. Talk about that a little bit, because this is that's a chosen generation house of hope that we talked about.
Yes, sir. And how that all came about, we had so many addicted coming into church. I actually, Pastor, had people I know were generally giving their heart to Jesus Christ. They were going to the altar. And I know when they got up and I hugged their neck and I told them I loved them, that they might have to return to a meth house or dope house somewhere.
Come on, tell the truth.
So, you know, God convicted me of that. He said, you have to do something. Don't just tell them you love them. Show them you love them. So it was one Sunday morning before church. I had my Bible. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was in Matthew 25. And I got to the end of the verses there. Yeah. We were talking about them earlier.
Yeah.
But when Jesus says, when you help the least of these, you're helping me. I started weeping, and Tracy passed by, my wife, she's a big part in all this too. They call her Mama Tracy over at the house, because when they need something, they'll call, you know. But I was sitting there, and God convicted me that we had to do more. So I pulled a group together and started me a board. I know that. Had to be separate from the church, because I wanted people to know that if they're going to help support this ministry with donations, I want them to know that those monies went to that cause.
Okay.
To help these people in need, these people addicted. And since then, we're about 6-7 months old now, I think.
Okay, so you're still fairly new.
We're new.
Yeah.
And but we've already seen God move in lives. Just give you a little example. 2 days ago, we have cameras in the common areas of the house. We have to, you know, to kind of monitor things.
Okay.
So Tracy comes to me, and she shows me one of our guys sitting there listening to Crowder and got his Bible out, and he's praying. And that right there makes it all worthwhile.
You got an environment where they can heal?
Yes, where they can
recover.
Heal. Yes, sir.
And get more of God. And not just that, but learn some skills, get back on their feet.
Yes,
you also put them to work. They can go make some money. So I can say that this is an awesome endeavor that you guys have gotten. And I know it's because the Lord put
Amen.
That in your path,
yes, sir.
And put you to do that. But it still takes a willing vessel.
Amen.
We'll do the work.
And I want everybody to know it's not easy. It's a task to take on, but it's a task that needs to be done.
Amen.
These people need love too. You know, that's somebody's mama, somebody's daddy, somebody's brother, sister. And, you know, I tell people all the time, when families have addicted, I'm sure you run into that too. But
yes, sir.
We don't ever give up. We keep praying.
Keep praying.
Keep praying. Keep loving praying. Them. Now, we don't accept nothing they're doing. You know, we can't ever allow them to drag us into anything, but we have to keep loving them, keep praying for them, and don't ever give up.
That's right. That's right.
Because God will he'll reach way down and pick them back up, you know. He'll
Amen.
Reach way down.
Amen. If you call on the name of the Lord, it don't matter how far
That's
down
right.
you are.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He'll reach down and grab
he'll
you.
He'll reach down there.
Amen. He'll save you.
Yes, sir.
And change your whole life.
Amen. He did it for me. I was an alcoholic. When I had the vision, I remember telling God, "God, not me. Not me. I'm a drunk."
I
remember saying that.
That's a common thing among people that hear the call of God. They regardless of what they're in, they're just like, "You don't want me."
Yeah, you don't want me. I said, "I'm a drunk," and he said, "Surrender your life to me, and I'll take it all from you." And when I got up off that bedroom floor, I've never wanted another taste of any kind of alcohol.
Wow.
And I was really bad. So now I guess that's part of what God leads me to help others because there's...
Is it easier to identify when somebody comes up and says, "Hey, I'm an alcoholic," or "I still struggle with that"?
Yes, sir.
Does that help you identify and reach to them where they are?
It does.
Maybe have some empathy in their, you know, for their situation.
You kind of said it earlier. Somebody's been there.
Yeah.
Somebody's been on the street. There ain't a better warrior to go out there and witness to others than somebody that's been there. We have a couple that was homeless when they came to the church. And they got saved, started living for the Lord. They got married, and they now have their own place. They had to go through the chosen house for a little while,
okay,
to learn some skills and some ways to help them. They had a little bit of a drug problem, but now they're out on their own, got their own place. They're married, and God is blessing them. You know,
what does that do for you when you see that?
That makes it all worthwhile. That makes it all worthwhile. You know, the midnight calls and the dealing with stuff and the letdowns, because not everybody makes it.
That's true.
Not everybody's ready to surrender, you know.
Yeah.
And those letdowns hurt, you know.
Because you want the best for people.
Yes.
Sometimes they're not ready to make the changes or do what's necessary.
Absolutely. You want the best, but sometimes, you know, it just ain't ready for them yet, you know. And we tell them the door's always open. You know, you didn't make it, but 6 months from now, call me back, and we'll maybe try again, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like Matthew 25, we must help the least of these. We have to.
That's right.
If it don't bother us to see people's lives like that, we need to get saved. I'm sorry, but
you know, DR was on that point a little bit yesterday as well. But I've been sharing the same thing. If God doesn't change you, if you don't feel compelled to go and share your testimony, if you don't feel like, you know, going out and doing something for Jesus, like, are you even saved? Did you even get converted? Because the Jesus I know, once he gets a hold of you,
yes,
everything will change.
Amen.
You know, sir. You can't keep your mouth closed.
That's right.
You'll want to go share your testimony. You'll want to say, hey, let me invite you to come to my church. Let me share a scripture with you, because what that means to you is so much.
Yes.
So what's a value, you know?
Yeah.
You want everybody to have something good.
Amen.
You know, if you're in it and you're like, let's share this with the entire world.
Amen.
Because that's what it's about.
Pastor, nothing makes you feel better than at the Royal Priesthood Biker Church for All People. Those folks love to go out and share with others and invite them to church. I was in Walmart in Shelby, and I'm passing through the line, and this has been a couple months ago, and the lady said, "You're the pastor over there at the biker church, right?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Man," I said, "I've had three different people from that church come through this line and invite me to church today." And
wow.
I'm like, hallelujah, you know, hallelujah.
That's something.
Yes, yes.
That's three strong. People,
yes. But they know what it's like to serve Jesus, and they want to tell others, you know.
Wow. Could you imagine if more people would do that?
Amen.
If they would witness, share, yes, their faith, encourage people to serve the Lord, plant those seeds, I think we'd have a bigger harvest here in America.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, if somebody wanted to support you, we got some information if they wanted to help with the House of Hope or Royal Priesthood Biker Church for All People. You've got a Cash App.
Yes, sir.
It's the $, then it's Chosen, the number 4, God House. Chosen, number 4, God House. That's on Cash App. Or if you want to mail, you can actually mail something in. That's to the Chosen Generation, House of Hope, 634 South Lafayette Street, Shelby, North Carolina, 28150. So if you guys want to help them, support them, if someone wanted to volunteer or make a donation of,
yes, sir,
you know, furniture or maybe something to help these people, maybe clothes, do you guys accept stuff like that as well?
Yes, sir. Actually, Jared, you might not know this. You just mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
I've met him several times, and he's gave us stuff for the house. So we've been working together for a while. I didn't know if you know that, but
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that.
And that's what it's all about, you know, and because he has the same heart, you know. That,
yeah.
I love his ministry anyway. But
compassionate, loving,
yes,
outreach ministry is what his ministry is,
yes,
called. That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to plug you, Jared.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
So if you can support that, that'd be great too. But one thing I want to mention, that God told us when we started Chosen Generation House of Hope that we're not going to accept any government money, okay? Yeah. Because when you do that, they can tell you. Now, our people, when they check into that house, they know they're going to be a Bible study every morning. They're going to be a Bible study every afternoon. And they know when Royal Priesthood Biker Church for All People is open on Wednesday for church, Friday for Broken Chain Celebrate Recovery, and Sundays at 2 p.m., it's not an option.
Mm, I like that.
They go to church.
I really like that.
And
like
if
that
you
do
don't,
that.
If you stay away from that kind of other funding, nobody can tell you. They sign a paper that says, yes, I know I have to attend church every time the doors open. And that's why we are totally totally non-government funded.
Nice.
We are funded from the people.
That is a huge, huge thing, because a lot of people don't know this, but
right.
A lot of churches out here get a 501c3 designation. That is a government designation. It's
right.
Underneath the government. A lot of people receive funds, like the PPE loan that they gave for the payroll loan back during COVID. They were giving, like, I know a church up the road from us, they got like $30,000-$40,000 to help fund, you know, their salaries and different stuff like that. And I never felt the need or compelled to do that. So hats off to you, because, you know, God is a good God.
Yes, he is. He'll provide.
He can provide. He can take care of what's his. And so I appreciate you trusting God and stepping out and doing that. And because a lot of people will compromise for money.
Yes.
But money sometimes comes with strings.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We don't want no strings, because this house is helped through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. That's where the help is. Of course, we do classes that helps with addiction and stuff, but the main help in that house is Jesus Christ. That's what we want.
Amen.
We want them to get healed through him.
Amen. Pastor Johnny, we so appreciate you being on here. It was kind of funny, because I was actually going to invite you to be on the KTF podcast, and we were at the men's the men's conference, and they said, does anybody make a nomination to get the golden ticket to be on our podcast? And I think they're going to you're also going to be on Greater Purpose with Bill Ward, correct?
Yes.
Well, and so I was gonna have you on anyway, and then when they were like, we nominate him, and I looked over him, I said, we were gonna have him on anyway. This is perfect that he got nominated. It was like it was meant to be. And so we got a couple of our guys that are not here today for our podcast. And so I said, you know what? I'm just gonna throw it out here to see if he can come today. And it all just worked out.
Amen.
That you were able to make it.
Thank you. It was an honor. It was an honor to be here.
Amen. So absolutely. Much. And so we want to ask you right before we wrap this up, if you could, you got a camera right over here. If you could look at this camera and share a message, somebody that might be struggling today, somebody might be maybe they're on drugs, or maybe they struggle with it. Maybe they got a family member. Give them some encouragement or something that helped you, or what kind of tools you use to help people in your ministry that would help somebody watching today.
Yes, I want you to know this. No matter how far down you are right now, you might have just smoked meth a little bit ago. You might have just drank just a little bit ago. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and we love you. And we want you to know this, that there is hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. I want you to also think about that next verse, that Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. So I asked you right now, no matter where you're at, if you'll surrender your life to Jesus Christ, today, not tomorrow, today, he'll change your life, and you'll have everlasting life. So you'll have that everlasting life from the point that you accept him. And so I want you to know that, that he loves you no matter what.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us, bro. We appreciate you. Thanks for being in the KTF studios right here on the KTF podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Shannon Williams, and I'm going to remind you, as I always do, don't give up, but keep the faith all the way to the finish line.